The California School Boards Association is proud to introduce podcasts as a way to disseminate information to its members. If you're a visual learner, we encourage you to print out any associated handouts for this podcast to help you better understand the concepts. The handouts, if available, were sent along with the podcast. We hope you enjoy today's presentation.
From the headquarters of the California School Boards Association, I'm Marguerite Noteware, and welcome to the inaugural podcast for the Construction Management Task Force. Today's construction management topic is the link between local school districts and the state agencies that regulate school construction. This issue is critically important to school boards because of the number of classrooms that must be built and modernized. Did you know that in the next 5 years, over 30,000 new classrooms will need to be built, and nearly 40,000 classrooms will need to be modernized? So to help us answer questions about school construction management today, I have with me Ben Bartos, a consultant from the California School Boards Association. He is going to provide us with an overview of the role that state agencies play in the public school construction process. Ben, welcome to the podcast. So to start out, can you tell me, what role do boards play in school construction?
Thanks, Marguerite. It's great to be here with you. So to answer your question about school boards, they're the critical link in determining the long-term facilities needs for students in the district. The board sets direction to staff by providing clear expectations, setting a budget, and determining the timelines for new construction and modernization projects.
Well, that sounds good. And in future podcasts and policy briefs, we'll talk more about those roles. But today, Ben, I'd like to ask you more about the role that state agencies can play in school construction. Can you tell me a little more about that, please?
Sure. At the state level, there are four main agencies involved with school construction, funding, and approval. There are the Office of Public School Construction, the State Allocation Board, the Division of the State Architect, and the California Department of Education School Facilities Planning Division.
What do those agencies do?
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about each one. The Office of Public School Construction verifies that school districts applying for funds meet specific criteria. The State Allocation Board distributes state funds, including general obligation bonds, for school construction projects. The Division of State Architect is involved in three phases of school construction projects: plan review and approval, construction oversight, and project closing and certification. The CDE School Facilities Planning Division reviews proposals for public school sites, including location, layout, and design. Now, this is a pretty detailed process, Marguerite. And there's an entire CSBA policy brief just on this subject. These regulations on design can include anything from classrooms to specialized areas like libraries and laboratories. The School Facilities Planning Division review is thorough to anticipate safety concerns and to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, looking at all aspects of building facilities.
Well, that's interesting. But are there any other agencies that need to be involved in the approval process?
There can be, yes. Based on the location of the school site, other agencies may be required to be a part of the approval process. There are lots of examples, but depending on where the site is, you might have to include a local water district in the process. If the site is near a highway, you might need to involve Caltrans. But really, the agencies that could potentially be involved range from the Army Corps of Engineers to an airport authority to Air Resources Board to the Department of Fish and Game.
Well, that makes sense. So now, can you give us an overview of the state's role in the construction process from start to finish?
Absolutely. As you can imagine, the process is really complex, but there are some basic milestones to keep in mind. It's important to remember that these milestones might occur in chronological order, but there's going to be some overlap in the timeline, and multiple activities may be occurring simultaneously in order to proceed with the construction project. First, there's a facilities master plan. This is a critical document to have in place from the get-go.
And Ben, let me stop you for just a minute. So our listeners know, there's a link to more information on facilities master planning on our Construction Management Task Force resource page.
Oh, good. It's really important that board members understand why having a facilities master plan in place can help streamline the process of construction and modernization.
So now that we understand the facilities master plan, what's the next step?
Well, the next step would be funding eligibility. Here's where a district would determine whether or not it's eligible for state funds by submitting a funding eligibility application before beginning the project. The next milestone is site selection. Site selection is a highly regulated process, and there is a complete CSBA construction management policy brief on this subject alone. But in short, a district would have to gain CDE approval before proceeding with a particular site.
All right, so what's after that?
Another milestone is the building design plan approval. The district would submit plans to CDE and then the state architect for approval before forwarding it to the OPSC to request funding for the construction project. Before construction begins, the DSA must approve all drawings and specifications and approve a project inspector. This DSA-approved project inspector must be present at the construction site to maintain a personal knowledge of the ongoing work and to verify that construction conforms to approved documents. During construction, the district must ensure that it coordinates field reviews, specialized lab tests and inspections, and responds if special circumstances arise. Once the construction phase of a project reaches completion, the DSA can either close it out by issuing a final certification of construction or by closing the project without certification. Now, without certification, the state will not assume liability for the facility. Your district school board members would remain liable for any construction-related litigation. And last but not least, follow-up must occur. So within 2 years of project completion, the OPSC will perform a financial audit of the project expenditures.
Thanks, Ben. That's a lot of new information. So let me try to sum up. In the process of construction, a district would adopt a facility's master plan, determine its eligibility for funding, establish and follow a process to select a site, making sure to get all the appropriate approvals, obtain approval for the building design plan, exercise proper oversight during the actual construction process, and ensure that final closeout procedures are followed.
I think you've got the basis covered. There's a tremendous amount of work and a lot of steps that go into each of these milestones, but from a very high level, that's a good overview of the process. For some of these steps, the work will be completed by district staff and by expert consultants. But for other steps, the board will be actively involved as well. For example, there are detailed policy briefs on facilities master planning and site selection on the Construction Management Task Force webpage.
Ben, thanks for talking with me today. And thank you for listening to the CSBA Construction Management Podcast. To be sure that you stay on top of the latest information from the task force, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. To learn more about school facilities funding programs and the resources used to develop this podcast, please visit the Construction Management Online Resource Center at the CSBA website. Thank you for listening today. I'm Marguerite Noteware.